Good Wednesday evening to you. We want to welcome you to Liberty Baptist Church on this Wednesday night as we go Liberty Live. We know that many of you are watching tonight, and I know that some of you will be watching maybe later in the evening or tomorrow morning sometime. We just want you to know that we are so glad that you have joined us, and we are excited, very excited about what the Lord is doing and what He's done today and what He is to do in the days ahead. We are thankful for you reporting about how God is moving in your life and how He is using Liberty Live, the music ministry at Liberty, and the preaching hour to mold and shape your life during these difficult days in which we are living. And so we appreciate your faithfulness. We want to ask you that you will just say a special word about Liberty tonight on your social media. Text somebody, a friend, whatever the case may be. And we want to encourage you to go ahead and share this live service. Post it, repost it, share it, whatever you need to do so others can join in. And also tonight, we just want to ask that you comment along the way so that we know you're watching. And if we encourage you in some way, send us a text message, let us know. And we are just so thankful God's given us this ability that we can join together and worship Him. So again, we're so excited. We are very excited just for an opportunity to stand before you again. And again, I want to encourage you that as soon as we can and as safe as we can, we will start meeting on this campus as a church body once again. At this point, based on the advice of some medical professionals, we are still playing kind of a watching game, seeing what's going to happen in the next 7 days. There seems to be an emphasis on that since things have kind of reopened, went full swing. So I've been advised just to kind of play it by ear for 7 days. Let's see what's going to happen in 7 days. And then sometime way after that, we may be able to tentatively put a date on the calendar and start gathering together. But I want to encourage you, keep being faithful to the Lord. Just because we're not meeting here side by side under one roof does not mean that we get to stop being the church of Jesus Christ. So keep being faithful to Him. Keep loving one another, encouraging one another, and just being who God has called you to be as an individual. Let us go to the Lord in prayer right now tonight, and let's lift up His name on high. So if you will, if you're watching it tonight, right this very moment, in whatever setting, I'm going to ask you to bow your head. If you're watching it tomorrow, from your office or from wherever you may sit down to watch tomorrow morning, just bow your head as we pray, and you pray with us, join your hearts with our hearts, and let's give glory to the God of heaven as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we love you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that we know that we are only able to love you because you first loved us. Father, we thank you for saving us, for calling us to be yours. I thank you, Father, for your great grace, your great mercy that you give us. I thank you for our church family here at Liberty. And Father, we just thank you for the great blessing that it is, such great people who you have brought together, Father, under one roof. And we just pray tonight you'll bless each one of them. I thank you for their faithfulness to you. And God, I pray you would favor them and just highly favor them. And Father, all that they do for your namesake, I would ask that you bless and you will multiply. And God, may you receive the glory from the lives they live for you. And now, Father, I pray you forgive us of our sins this day. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sins. And we thank you for His life, that He's resurrected and we are justified, Father, before you. And we celebrate the fact tonight that we serve a risen Savior who's no longer buried and in a tomb, but Father, He's alive not just this day, but He's alive forevermore. And so, Father, I pray you'll use us tonight in your service, bind us together as a church, make us stronger, God, than we were before. And Father, may we see souls for our labors, and may we see Liberty reaching those that are helpless, hurting, and those that have need, and those that are lost, and bringing them to Jesus. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We also want to mention to you, because we have had many texts and even phone calls, people interested in giving, so I do want to remind you again to go to our Facebook page and go to our website, and you can find all the information there about giving to Liberty. So if you're watching, maybe you're not even a member. You're just church family in some way, and you're just watching us because maybe your church doesn't have an online service right now. Or maybe you don't even have a home church and you've picked up Liberty along the way. But what you have seen is enough to convince you that you believe in the mission of Liberty and what God has called us to do, and that is reaching a lost and dying world for Jesus. And you want to give, then you can go to our website and our Facebook page and give. Now, let me mention as well that when we do set that date, I'm going to keep mentioning this, I'll sound like a broken record. This would be a good time to run and get you a refill on your sweet tea if you've heard this over and over. Our first Sunday back, whenever this is going to be, we don't have that date set yet, but again, as soon as we can, as safe as we can, but that first Sunday back together on this church campus, we are going to, as God has laid it on my heart, we want to take up a sacrificial offering. And what this sacrificial offering is, it's going to be an offering that's above our regular tithes and offerings. You just pray about what God would have you to give, but I believe God's been so good to us as a church and a church family that we need to just thank Him in some way. And so that day, we're going to bring those gifts to this altar, and we will that following week, we will take every penny that is given in that sacrificial offering and we will give it out. We're going to give it out to various ministries and just places where there are great need. So every penny of that will be given out. So you just pray. And I realize that this may have been a very difficult time for you financially, that those difficulties may go on for weeks and even months in your own life. I realize that. An offering, it ought to cost you something. Anywhere in the Bible where they brought an offering, it always cost the one who was bringing that offering. It cost them something. So you just pray about this. That's between you and the Lord, all together between you and the Lord as to what He would have you to give. But just know this, it's a way that we are going to say, thank you, Lord, for being so kind and so good to us. And we are just acknowledging you through this gift of our heart. And then we will, in turn, that following week, take every penny of that and we will give that money away. So be praying about that. Also tonight, if you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 verse 19. Isaiah 43 verse 19. Well, I do want to say tonight as we are talking about Isaiah, that Isaiah is a book, 66 chapters in the Word of God. It's one of the major prophets that we find in the Word. There were the major prophets and minor prophets, but Isaiah, because of the content, was one of the major prophets. And you need to sit down and read that book sometime. You may not understand it all, but just pray and ask the Lord to help you as you go through it. But there are some true nuggets, some golden nuggets that are found within the book of Isaiah. D.L. Moody, he called these kind of things gold. And so sure enough, there is gold in the book of Isaiah. So you read that sometime in the next few days, study through that book. Isaiah 43 verse 19, I want you to think about this thought. I want you to think about new beginnings. New beginnings. This may not be so much a sermon tonight as it is a devotion for you. I maybe went into overtime this past Sunday, so I need to shorten the service tonight because I owe you some credit, I guess. We do have just a thought in our heart, but that thought is new beginnings. You know, I was thinking about my time in the military. One of the very important courses that we went through and we spent a lot of time on was land navigation, learning how to read a map and a compass. And I was in the military when GPS was used only for military purposes. There were GPS satellites orbiting above, but it was only open to the military and no private or civilian sectors at the time. But even though we had GPS units, which are not as small as they are now, they were very large, we still trusted only a map and a compass because GPS could go out. It's electronics if you're in mountainous terrain or weather. And so we had a map and a compass, and you had to learn, and we commonly practice it in all of our training, learning how to navigate with nothing but that map, being in the middle of the woods and a compass. But there's one of the things that you could do as you're navigating with just a map and a compass. Sometimes you would come to a place where you don't know where you're at. Maybe we have just been inserted by parachute, by high altitude drop into some place that we're unfamiliar with, and we don't exactly have our bearings as to our exact spot where we're standing. So one of the things that we could do is called triangulation. And if you could identify two different land features on that map and eyeball them, then you could stop when you got lost or turned around or you just needed to refigure where you were at. You could stop, find two land features that you could identify on the map, and you could use triangulation, and you could figure out where you are on that map, right down to the exact square yard. And then from that point, you could take off and begin navigating again, begin making a movement again in a new direction or in the direction that you need to go. And I'm thankful that sometimes along life's way that the Lord, He gives us new beginnings. And I say this with all sincerity and humility and with absolutely no pride at all in and of myself, but only in the Lord, that many times in my life, He has given me a new beginning. And I'm certain for those of you who are watching tonight, you are nodding your head, agreeing with me from your own life and your own testimony. But just that simple thought tonight, new beginnings. Look in Isaiah 43, verse 19. And here's what the Bible says, what Isaiah says from the Lord. Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. And He says, it's going to spring forth. It's here. It's springing forth. And I, even I, will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Well, to begin in this text, I want to encourage you. I know I am where I'm supposed to be tonight. And so I really want you to listen because I believe this. I believe that somewhere watching on this video tonight, somewhere somebody watching Liberty Live, or you may even tune in tomorrow, or it may be Saturday before you're watching this Wednesday night Liberty Live on your phone or computer, whatever it may be. But I believe that there is somebody that's going to hear this message tonight or tune into this service. And you have just been lost in life. You for the life of yourself can't figure out how you wound up where you are. Maybe you've lost a sense of purpose. You've lost a sense of self. You don't even know who you are in Christ anymore. Maybe your yesterdays are overshadowing the promise of your tomorrows that God has given you. And it's just overwhelmed and overtaken you. And you, above all people, you'd love nothing more than to have a new beginning in your life. Well, I want you to know that we serve just such a Savior that does that. In fact, the book of Lamentations tells us that the Lord's mercies, that they are renewed day by day. It's of His mercy that we're not consumed. The justice and judgment of God should and could consume us just in a breath or in a twinkling of an eye. But we're not consumed because He gives us new mercy every day. So see, we serve the God of new things. If there's new mercy every day, then every day that we are alive, there is a chance of a new beginning if we want it. But I believe there's somebody who's watching who would say, I wish that I could have a new beginning. Man, I remember a man that I ministered to started coming to our church. He was probably 64, 65 years old. Most of his life had been lived. Saved at a young age and then wasted his life and had really ruined his life in a lot of ways through riotous living and parties and drinking and various drugs and things like that. And about 64 years of age or so, he started coming to the church and visiting, and he started in the back of the church, sitting in the back, and I noticed after a few Sundays he had moved up halfway, and after a few Sundays more he had moved up even further. And this man shared his heart with me and talked about his wasted days, and it's given me an opportunity just to ask him. I said, do you know for sure that you've ever been saved? Oh, and he assured me of that. He anchored it down and promised me and guaranteed me and took me to the place where God had saved him at a young age, and he confessed his sinfulness, that he had wasted his life in righteous living. But he was getting back to where he needed to be, that he felt God drawing him and calling him and using the ministry of our church to bring him back in unto the Lord. And God, it was so exciting to see God give him a new beginning. Even late in life, God was able to give him and gracious to give him a new beginning. And it was so wonderful to stand by and to watch God doing that work of grace in his life and see him get in and begin serving the Lord and begin joining our prayer ministries and things like that. What a blessing that it was. And so somebody's watching tonight. You're not even late in life. Maybe you are, and that story helps you, but you're somewhere in life. Maybe it's with a job. Maybe it's with a relationship. Maybe it's just in your walk with the Lord. Maybe it's in dealing with your past, your shame or your guilt of your yesterdays. And you're watching that and you have thought for some time, it would be nice to have a new beginning. Well, I want you to know, I don't believe God operates in happenstance or coincidence or anything like that. I believe that God's got a specific will in his mind, and I just want you to know that this burden got in my heart, a message that I want to leave with you simply on new beginnings. Now, let me say this, that first word there, behold, that is, it should really be read with excitement because it refers to really a couple of things. Number one, it is a particle of excitement. And so the Lord wants us to know, hey, I'm about to make a statement, and this is an exciting thing. This is not just another verse in the text. It's not just another a word in a storyline. But the statement that is about to be made, listen up, because it's an exciting thing. Now watch this. It's exciting not because I say it's exciting, but it's exciting because the Lord, before he makes the statement, he says it's exciting. That word behold, it's a particle of excitement. And so that means when we're reading along through the text and we see this word behold, no matter where it's at, from Genesis to Revelation, that means we need to stop and we need to raise our eyes up and go ahead and just get a smile on your face, because there's something exciting that is about to follow. And so the Lord wants us to know this as he reveals to us really who he is. He's a God of new beginnings. And so he says, behold. So it is a word or a particle of excitement, but also of God's demonstrative power. In other words, it's a word that's cueing us in to the demonstration of God's power. Let me say this. I want you to understand. Some of you are wondering how you'd ever start over. Some of you are wondering how you would ever. Some of you are wondering how that you would ever have a new beginning in life. Some of you are wondering how that you could ever move on from where you're stuck at. And in fact, truth of the matter is, you're just stuck and you're stuck in a rut. Well, you know what a rut is. A rut's a grave with both ends knocked out of it. And so some of you are stuck in a rut and you're tired of being there and you don't want to be there any longer, but you're ready to move on and to take on what God has in store for you. Well, you need to know that when God uses that word behold, not only is it a word of excitement, but it means that God's about to demonstrate his power. And I want you to know this. I want you to understand this, that I can't give you a second start. I can't take your life and give you a new beginning. I can't get you out of that rut. None of that's within me. I mean, I can pep talk you. I found out a long time ago when it comes to pastoring people and trying to counsel with people that all the words that I can say myself, they always fail. That all the words I have within me, the smartest and most wise things that I could say to these individuals, they always fail and they turn to naught. But I found this, that I can pray for them and that the power of God in their life can give them new beginnings and get them out of that rut. So you may be questioning, how can I ever start over? You may be questioning, how can I ever go back and do things again? How can I ever get a new lease on life? How could I ever have a new beginning in my life, preacher, considering my circumstance as to where I'm at? Well, you need to know this. You need to know that God is in the business of creating and giving new beginnings to those that humbly seek him. So I can't do it. You can't do it. I promise you, you can't figure it out on paper. And I'm telling you that God is able to give you a new beginning. And I believe God's speaking to you right now. It may be about a relationship. It may be about a job. I remember one time a friend of mine come to my house and he had been working in a family business and this man, he was falling in love with Jesus at the time and he said, I'm burnt out on this family business. I feel like I need to pull out of it. It's not what I'm going to do the rest of my life. And he said, I've got a family to raise. I don't even know what to do. He said, I don't know where to turn. And he said, I just need you to pray for me. And I said, well, I felt led of the Lord to ask him. I said, let me ask you something. I said, what is it that you want to do? And he said, well, he said, I spent some time as a paramedic. And he said, I worked around law enforcement a lot. And he said, I'd really like to get into law enforcement. And I said, well, why don't we just pray and ask God that? I said, let's just ask God, if it be his will, that he'll go ahead and give you a new beginning in your career, and he'll open that door. And we prayed, and by the end of the next day, he called me and he said, listen, he said, I talked to the sheriff of the county I live in, and he said, he's gonna pay for me to go to rookie school. And in North Carolina, you usually have to pay your own way to rookie school and have your own side job until you get through rookie school and get certified as a law enforcement officer. It used to be rare that you would be on a payroll of a municipality or a county while you were going through what they call BLET, basic law enforcement training. But he just walked into a job where they were going to give him a car to drive back and forth to school and put him on payroll while he's going to school. Friend, listen, I want you to understand, that's a God thing. That's evidence that God brings new beginnings into our life. Only God could have worked all that out. So maybe you're wondering, how can it happen? Well, here's how it happens. You need to know that God's brought you this word, and what you need to do now is by faith, you just need to stand still and watch God's power start to operate in your life to bring a new beginning into your life and into your being. Whether it be relationship, family, or just your walk with the Lord. Maybe you're stuck in that rut. Maybe it feels like you've not been going anywhere for weeks, months, or, hey, even years. Well, it's time, God says, watch with excitement and let me demonstrate my power in your life as to what I'm about to do with you as my child. Now watch. And so the verse goes on to tell us this. The Lord says, I'm going to do a new thing, a new beginning. And now it shall spring forth, and you will know it, is what the text is literally saying right here. It's going to spring forth, and literally that word spring forth, that phrase spring forth there, literally it refers to a young shoot or a young plant that has just emerged from the ground and is beginning that growing process where eventually harvest will come. I'm the world's worst. I don't know how many years that I have been growing a garden. Up home, we grew a sizable garden. Down here, I've got 2 8-by-8 raised beds where I've got, we plant all the typical garden stuff, cucumbers, corn, tomatoes, bell peppers, jalapenos, all that kind of stuff, green beans. But I am the world's worst. I know the life cycle of certain seeds, and I know that, say, like corn or beans, it's going to take, you know, about 7 to 10 days for that to germinate and to emerge from the ground. And I am the world's worst after about 3 or 4 days in the ground. If all the conditions are right, the moisture's right, and the soil temperature is right, I'm the world's worst. I will go out literally. I'll go out every day, and I will stare just looking for that first shoot. Every day, it never fails. Every year, whether it be that garden we had in the mountains or whether it be the 8x8 raised beds we have here, I'll go out and I'll pace around that garden spot every day. I'll get down eye level with the soil just trying to see if there's one little sprout that's sticking up and about to come out of the ground. And it excites me when I find 2 or 3 that are coming up, because here's what I know. I know that once that comes up out of the ground, that there is no stopping it. The Lord willing, and if God would put His favor through the weather and moisture, the rain and all of that, that once that plant emerges from the ground and it begins that growing process, I know that there is a harvest and a fruitful day coming. I know that great things are on the way. And it's much more than a hobby for me. It's kind of a side passion, if you will. It's just a very exciting thing to watch God grow that garden. And God does. If you're a farmer and you're watching, then you know it's God who grows our gardens and our life in our the works of our hands. But listen to me. And so what you need to know is here's what God has said to you. That God has said, you want a new beginning. You need a new beginning. Well, I'm going to give it to you. And just sit back and hold on by faith and look with faith, because it's coming. And I'm going to demonstrate my power in your life as I bring this new thing to pass, this new beginning to pass in your life. And the Lord says it's going to spring forth. And when it's come, hey, there'll be no stopping it. And so you need to know that it's coming. Just as sure as you put a piece of corn seed in the ground, a kernel of corn in the ground, and that soil temperature gets warm right where it needs to be, about 55 degrees, and it gets the proper amount of moisture, just as sure as God sends the rain upon that and the warmth upon that, it's going to come out of the ground. And that's what's going to happen in your life. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You just got to hold on by faith and know that God has got a word for me tonight, and the word for me is new beginnings. So, and here's what he says then. And he says this, verse 19. He says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's going to make a way in the wilderness. In other words, that wilderness where you're lost, where you're wandering around, God says, I'm going to make a way out of that wilderness. And I'm going to make a way even in the wilderness. I remember one time I was up on the Blue Ridge Parkway, and I worked for the Park Service at the time, many years ago. But we had somebody get lost in an area where there was commonly lost hikers. And getting lost in the mountains is one of the most foolish things that you will ever do, where people will wander for days and days and days in the mountains, because there's nowhere I know of in the mountains of North Georgia or through all the Great Smokies where that if you will just turn downhill and start walking downhill within 2 or 3 hours max, no matter where you're at, you're going to come out to a creek somewhere. You can follow that creek, or you're going to come out on an old logging road, and you'll be able to find your way out of there. But people will get lost for days on end because they're going round and around, and they'll go uphill and downhill and uphill and downhill. Well, if you're ever lost in the mountains, don't ever turn uphill unless you know exactly where you're going. Just turn downhill and start walking, and you'll come out and never have to spend the night in the wilderness. But I remember we went in, and And we were trying to find this lost a boy. He was part of a Boy Scout group. They had wandered away from a Boy Scout camp. They'd already spent one night, and the nighttime temperatures, even in the summer, at that elevation, are very, very cool. You get hypothermia, so it was a dangerous situation. But we located this young boy, and we started trying to get out of there ourselves. Now, we knew where we were at, and we were just trying to find the best way out. But for a while, we were turned around just a little bit as to find the best way out of there. And it wasn't long when I remember coming around the bottom of this knob that rose up in front of us, maybe 400 or 500 foot. And when I come around the bottom of it, there was just a clear path all the way up to this logging road, just like a way, like a highway to get out of that wilderness. And listen to what God says. You may be lost. You may be wandering around aimlessly. You may have lost a sense of direction or a sense of purpose in your life. It may seem like a wilderness to you because you've been going round and around and around. But God says, what I'll do is I'll make a way for you in the wilderness. But not only that, but he says I'll make, in verse 19 again, he says, I'll make rivers in the desert. Now, friend, there's some ways to survive in the desert, and there are ways to obtain water in the desert if you ever get lost. There's many ways to obtain water in the desert, in desert environments, so that you could sustain yourself. They say you can go 3 weeks without food, but only about 3 days without water, and that really depends on the environment you're in. It could be less, but there are ways to get water in the desert, but I promise you this, there is nothing I can do nor that you could do to create a river in the desert. Oh, I can get you a little water just enough to survive on if we're in the middle of the desert, but there's no way I could make you a river, and no way anyone else could either. But God says here that if you need a new beginning because you have found yourself in desert wanderings, well, what I'm about to do in your life is going to be so great. What I'm about to do in your life is going to be so big, and it's coming, and it's on its way, and it's springing forth. He says it's going to be like rivers in the desert. What about that? Isn't God so good? Isn't it interesting that he didn't just say, I'll help you out of the wilderness, I'll give you an aid to get you out of the wilderness, but he says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. He didn't say, I'll get you a cup of water in the desert, I'll get you a drink of water to get you by, I'll give you some dew in the morning to sustain you in your desert wanderings, your desert journeys. But he said, I'm going to make your desert a river. And you know what comes with every river is an oasis. And so God is so gracious and so big and so kind that that's what he's willing to do with you. And maybe it's a new beginning in a career, a new beginning in a relationship. Maybe you need a new beginning in a church somewhere. And maybe you're stuck in a rut at the church you're at. And listen, I have never, and I will proclaim this many, many times, and I have, but I'm not one of these preachers to go out and steal church members from other churches. But what I do want to encourage you is this, is that if you are in a dead, lifeless church, if you're in a church where there is no life, I don't care how long your family's been going there, I don't care if your great-great-grandpappy laid the cornerstone for the front porch of that church, you, because you're a child of God, you need to get somewhere, whether it be Liberty or another Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church, you need to get somewhere where the Spirit of the Lord dwells and where the Word of God preaches, where you can experience life, particularly if you have children or a family. So maybe it's just a maybe you just need a new beginning in your church life. Maybe you've been wrestling around with your past, whatever your past may be. We've all got a past. Somebody may say something about a skeleton in somebody's closet, as I heard a while back. Well, the thing is, if we all opened our closets up, we'd all have skeletons there, and we do all have skeletons there. And so you need a new tomorrow. Well, I want you to know this, that God's plan for you and his promise for you of a new beginning, it overshadows the darkness of your past or that rut you're in or whatever the case may be. The promise God has in store for you to give you a new beginning, because God says, I'm going to do a new thing. Boy, we need that in America. We need that in our churches. And we need that for you as individuals. I'm going to close with this, and I think that it's proof that we serve a God of new beginnings. I was thinking about just that thought, a God who is a God of new beginnings. And I started thinking, Lord, take my mind back in Scripture. Show me in Scripture where that you have brought new beginnings in the lives of your people. Well, many, many times over in Scripture. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, even over in Revelation, he says, behold, I make all things new. He creates a new heaven and a new earth. So from Genesis to Revelation, the occurrence of God being a God of new beginnings is numerous. But specifically, the Lord just took my mind to the miracles of Jesus. Now watch, some 34 miracles performed by our Lord. If I've got the number right in my head, some 34, I believe. Some 34 miracles performed by our Lord. And I began thinking about all of those miracles. I started thinking about the disciples being in the storm, both storms that they were in. One, Jesus come to them walking on that water. The other, Jesus was in the boat with them. The storms the disciples were in. I started thinking about Jesus healing the demoniac, the man who was possessed by a demon or demons. I started thinking about the woman with the issue of blood. I started thinking about the widow who had lost her only son to death. I started thinking about Lazarus, the friend of Jesus who had died. I started thinking about Jesus healing the blind. I started thinking about him allowing the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. I started thinking about all of his miracles, even the miracle of his own resurrection. But of all 34 miracles, of all the miracles of Jesus, in every instance, in every case, it was a new beginning for the recipient of that miracle. Of course, the miracle of his resurrection, we got to be the recipients of the new beginning and the new thing that Jesus did by his resurrection from the grave, because we are given an opportunity to be saved as Gentiles by God's grace. But without exception, all 34 of those miracles, they were new beginnings for the recipients of those miracles. And I believe tonight that there's a miracle in the waiting for you. I'm not one to push signs and wonders, and I'm not going out on that charismatic limb of signs and wonders and all of that. I'm not doing that at all, but quite simply this, anytime God gives somebody a new beginning, it's a miracle if you ask me. And so I believe somebody watching tonight on Liberty Live, or maybe watching tomorrow morning or whenever it may be, you've got a new beginning in store for you. Say, preacher, what do I do in the meantime? Well, God says it's springing forth, so what do I do? Well, you just hold on by faith, and believe by faith. Claim this verse as your verse in these coming days. When the enemy attacks your thoughts and your imaginations, then you bring this verse up to him. Because this verse is not what I've said, but that verse is what God said. God said, behold, I'm going to do a new thing in your life, and here's what it is. And so hang on, child of God, because he loves you, and he's going to do a new work in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice in your word. And Father, your word has helped me tonight, and I thank you for that. And it's been an encouragement to me. But God, the most encouraging thing for me tonight is knowing that somebody watching is about to get a new beginning in life. They're about to get a new lease in life. Their walk with you is about to change. Maybe it's a career change. Maybe they need a new beginning in a relationship that they have in their life. And God, only you can do these things. Father, maybe it's just a new beginning from their yesterdays. And God, I'm so glad that our tomorrows in Christ Jesus far overshadow our yesterdays in and of ourselves. And so God, bring a new day into someone's life. Let there be a new sunrise. Let there be a new day of grace. A new day of mercy. Let them see that that truly that your mercy in their life has been renewed this day. And God, as if all of these things are not evidence to them that you've given them a new beginning, then God, let them right this moment watch their chest rise and fall with the breath of life you've put inside of them. And God, if you were done with them, if you were finished with them, if life was over, if there are no tomorrows for them, then Lord, you would have not given them that breath today. But God, the very fact that they're breathing, they're listening to this word is evidence to me that you've got a plan for their lives, that you have a purpose for them, and more greater than all those things, you're willing to give them a new beginning so that they can walk in to your purpose and your plan for their living. Father, I pray for our nation. We pray for all of our first responders, our doctors, our nurses, those in our rest homes and in our nursing homes, the elderly and those in hospice care. Father, shelter all of our workers and keep them safe. Protect their families as they minister through the day and then come home to their families. Please put a hedge of protection around them. And God, bring health to them. And I pray even if they've been exposed to the COVID virus, that God, that you will kill it before it takes seat in their body and brings forth that sickness. And I pray that God, you will just lord over them in health and in well-being as they minister, God, to those around them. We pray for our churches. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, we give you the glory for all that you've done, all that you're doing. And Father, we're looking forward to what you're going to do in the coming days and the weeks ahead. We're excited, Father, excited about Jesus and the work of God in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining Liberty Live. Please join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and invite some friends, family, and neighbors to tune in with us. And we are going to see you then. Excited to meet once again for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good night from Liberty Baptist Church.